When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
It's been almost 3,000 years, and Greek mythology has proved that it is not going anywhere. But it can be difficult to find entertaining and engaging retellings of these myths that aren't fictionalized. Lucky for you, I'm here. Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the Greek mythology and ancient history podcast of your dreams. I dive into the convoluted and confusing ancient sources so you don't have to. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Go behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey everybody, welcome to Car Stuff. I'm Scott Benjamin.
And my name is Ben Bolin. Scott, you're the auto editor here at our website.
Correct. Right. And you are a video guy.
Yeah.
Video person and script writer and podcaster.
Sort of a renaissance man.
Do a little bit of everything.
I'm your favorite co-host.
That's true.
Thanks, man. You're my favorite co-host. And one of the reasons you're my favorite co-host is because you always come up with so many awesome ideas.
This is a unique one, isn't it?
This really blew me away, yeah, I have to say.
This is a little bit of a secret, maybe.
This is totally a secret,
well,
I would say.
To most.
Probably a secret to most people, especially if they're outside of the United Kingdom.
Yes, very good. Very good. I would say so, unless you just happen to stumble across this thing somehow. We're talking about the vintage mobile cinema.
Yes, so cast your mind back, listeners, if you will, to the 1960s. Mm-hmm. For some people, this was what they recalled as the good old days, right?
Yeah.
We also saw a lot of out-of-the-box thinking, a lot of innovation, not just in transportation, but in general throughout the world. However, being a car show, what we are going to focus on today is the vintage mobile cinema, as you said, Scott, mm-hmm. Which is basically, let's do a little quiz.
Okay. Oh, sure.
Is this, we'll do a multiple choice. You already know the answer, okay?
Okay, right. So
vintage mobile cinema, is it A moving movie theater? Is it B, a moving movie studio where they film movies? Or is it C, an elaborate hoax?
The answer is A.
The answer is A. Congratulations,
yeah.
Guys.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah. Thank you very much. I feel good about myself now. 100%.
Now, this thing looks like an RV almost.
It does. And, it's enormous. It's a really big vehicle. I've got the dimensions on this thing here in a little bit. But what it is it's one of seven vehicles that were built by the Ministry of Technology in
yes.
the United Kingdom. And this is really strange. The Prime Minister at the time in 1967 decided that for the British government, they wanted to promote British industry.
Yes.
And this is coming out of, a long time after World War II. However, they were still in this kind of economic downturn and things just weren't going right. So the Prime Minister decided that it was time to kind of rally the troops, so to say, mm-hmm. and so to speak, and get everybody interested again in production and efficiency and, you know, the ways to do things better and to make everything a little bit more profitable for
yeah.
its citizens.
Put a and, little fire under the keister of the
yeah,
British film industry too.
Exactly. Yeah, that's true. That's right. And, what these things did was there were seven of them built, as we mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
They're 22 seats inside of this vehicle. Now, you'd never guess it looking at it, would you?
No, it doesn't look like you can fit 22 seats. And
it's big.
It's
but
huge.
But it doesn't look like you could seat 22.
No.
No, it's just a, it's more like a, like you said, like an RV, a smaller size RV, not even a, not even one of the big, the bus.
Not
types.
One of the charter bus looking
no,
ones.
No, no, it's kind of one of the in-between size, but, it's really a unique looking vehicle. There are 22 seats, and let's just kind of give the facts here.
Yeah.
22 seats inside this thing. It has tiered seating, and that's probably the secret to the whole thing is how they get so many people in there.
Yeah.
The screen, I guess, would be at the back end of the vehicle where the door would be, the back end, and they seat, Yeah, so like if you walk in, you walk upstairs towards the front of the vehicle, towards like where the cab of the vehicle would be, and you look the opposite way. Like if you were driving down the road, you'd be looking backwards.
If you
want to put it that way. The screen is on the back wall. There's a projector at the top, angled up, you know, from up high, and that's kind of unique. You had a question about this part because this is one of the most distinctive exterior features on the thing.
Yes.
Otherwise, you'd have no idea that this was anything special, really.
Right. I can describe it.
Yeah, go ahead.
There's a segmented panoramic view window. It's almost like a bay window, but it's rounded.
It's a big dome.
It's a huge dome.
Yeah.
And when you were first showing me the pictures, I was doing some research about this. My question was basically, what the heck is going on up there?
Yeah.
What is that doing?
Well, it turns out it's a projection room or the projection area where the projectionist, would sit during the films. And, you know, cause at the time there was a projector with film.
Right.
And so somebody had to be up there to operate that machinery and make sure everything's going right. And you could also kind of, I think there were some windows up there they could peek through and see the audience, make sure everything was okay in there and the film was going well. But what they did was they showed these inspirational almost films, you know, like they would say it was, industry films that were really slanted towards production and efficiency and giving the most of yourself in order to make, your company more profitable. Mm-hmm. So they would kind of customize these messages that they would go out with in these vehicles, and they'd have a trailer in tow as well.
Yes.
It was also built by the same company, which is the Coventry Steel Canvas Company.
Right, yes.
And that's who did the coachwork for this whole thing. They made the trailers also, and they would have these specialized, displays that they would bring along with them, where they would have a small meeting table maybe in the middle. They could discuss parts, you know, across this little meeting table in this trailer. View the film next door in the cinema. They didn't call it vintage cinema at the time, but it's the mobile cinema, I guess. So it's just an interesting vehicle, and it's quite a unique find because, like we said, there were seven built, only one of them remains now.
Yes, speaking of extraordinary finds, Scott, this last surviving mobile cinema, a Bedford SB3, was sitting in a field, just out in a field, for 14 years.
Unbelievable.
Let's go ahead and relieve the tension for everybody sitting on the edge of their car seat right now and let you know that they did manage to save this one.
Yes, they did.
And it was an uphill journey. I think if you go to their website where they talk about the mobile cinema, you can see the restoration work they had to do, which was much, much more than – how did they put it, Scott? They said it's way more than slapping a new coat of paint on there.
Something like that, yeah. And I watched a little bit of the video of them putting this together because you can catch some YouTube videos of this thing in different levels of restoration. And the owners, there's two people that own it now, Ollie Halls and Emma Gifford.
Yes.
And the two of them are now touring in this vehicle. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But they purchased the vehicle for £1,200. I don't know what that would be in dollars, U.S. dollars. I'm not sure.
It's more than $1,200.
That's right, more than $1,200, whatever that would be. I think, just a rough guess, I thought a pound was around $1.80 or something like that.
Yeah, so it'd be a little less than $2,400.
Okay, something like that. But they have put about, at the time of this video that I saw, they had put about 9,000 to 10,000 pounds into the restoration at this point. So you're talking about nearly $20,000 additional in restoration work. And I know that they weren't done at that time because I've seen it further than what
further
it was.
Along.
Yeah. I mean, including some of the equipment that they've added, because I know that, you know, originally that had the film projector that we talked about.
Right.
Now it has a high quality digital projection unit, that hangs in the ceiling. And, it does have, like, you know, Dolby surround sound and the, the seats and everything that they put in there were custom made and
Blu-ray player.
Exactly. Yeah. There's a lot of high tech advancements. You know, they said that the only way that they strayed from the original was that they went for the comfort and safety of the passengers and the viewers. So, everything else is original on this thing. I mean, they tried to keep original. You know, the original instruments, the exterior looks original, everything else about it is original.
And the seats actually, do go back to the 1930s.
Oh, do they?
I think they fixed them up, pretty extensively. So it's a little unclear whether it's the actual, original seating or whether it was just sort of rebuilt to look that way.
Interesting. It almost seems like that'd be one of the things that would be looted. The thing, you know, when it was in the field, because I know that someone had stolen the transmission, I believe, out of the vehicle.
Yeah, I heard that.
And, of course, the engine had seized up, so it's got a new, bigger engine. I think was that was part of the difficulty in the restoration was getting this newer, bigger engine inside this thing, a big diesel engine. And, of course, then, you know, trying to find a transmission that would fit as well, and something about handmade gears, but I'm not sure if that's true. It might have been just a gear shift.
Yeah.
I couldn't really tell.
A lot of work, though, right?
Yeah, they had to replace the dome, the glasswork in the dome, and I think that's about it because it was just too weathered to make it.
Yeah, you guys have to check out this dome. It's
really
crazy.
Cool.
Now let's see if you are looking for this vehicle. If you're lucky enough to live in the area of Devon, England, then you should have already heard of this thing.
Oh,
it's been around since, I think, summer of 2010, maybe?
Yeah, that's right. It's relatively recent that it's been back on tour.
Mm-hmm. And they're actually, not only are they showing a bunch of films that are not limited to the pro-efficiency pieces that Scott and I talked about earlier, that sort of range from inspirational to propaganda, you know, it's sort of up to you to decide.
Sure, the company line.
Yeah, they tow a company line, definitely.
Sure. Or they did.
They did. Now they're free agents and they can show, whatever they want. You know, and there's still a great love of British cinema there. And this is a neat thing. If you are a filmmaker, now our guest producer Tyler might be interested to hear this too. If you are a filmmaker, you can submit, your work to, now it's not a guarantee that they're going to show it, but you can submit it to them for consideration to show in the mobile cinema.
Well, that's really cool. I didn't know that.
I know. We should make a movie.
You know, I went today to the website. Just to check up on it, see where it was right now. And, they're making a tour of museums and schools, and they've got just, it seems like every day there's something going on. They have travel days marked out in between, you know, to get to and from places. So they're not, they're not trailering this thing around. They're driving it to the second location.
Right.
But I mean, really what they're doing is like museum tours. They're doing, you know, private events.
Yeah.
You can hire this thing out. You can have it show, you know, the movie that you select. I mean, I guess if you're a filmmaker and you wanted to hire it for a private event, a viewing of your movie, you could do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess they're showing a lot of archive films and, you know, museum, independent films right now. So that's kind of the idea behind this thing and what they're doing.
I've got the official launch date. When they relaunched, it was May 2010.
Oh, okay. So
they've been there since then.
Yeah, nearly a year.
Nearly a year, which is good on them. I've got a surprise for you, Scott.
Oh, good.
I mentioned it, I think, before.
Yeah, you did.
Now, Scott and I usually try to surprise each other during a podcast, but you, I don't know if you know this one, man. They're getting a TV show.
What?
On BBC Two.
A TV show?
Uh-huh.
A weekly TV show? Or how's this going to work?
Well,
I mean, is it a one-time shot?
Okay. So this, they're coming out with a show on BBC Two daytime. This is from the press release, which was in September 2010. Melvin Bragg's going to present a brand new series for BBC Two on the daytime, retelling the fascinating stories about how life in Britain used to be through the film collections of the British Film Institute and regional film archives. Now, throughout the series, Melvin Bragg will be touring the country in the UK's only surviving vintage mobile cinema, which, of course, now we and our listeners know all about. So he will be through the run of the show. Touring in the cinema.
Oh, very cool. So that will be the backdrop for the whole program, really.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh, that's very cool.
And
very cool.
You know, man, I love entrepreneurs personally, and I just cannot express how happy I am for these two people to be able to take what everybody probably told them, frankly, was a crazy idea.
Oh, sure. Yeah, you're going to buy that pile of junk that's sitting in the field for the last 15 years.
Yeah.
And you're going to do what with it? You're going to put 20-some thousand dollars into this?
Okay, brief aside, Scott. One of the reasons this kind of stuff is close to my heart is because I was in a similar situation way back in the days of yore when I was just a ruddy-faced sophomore in high school, you know, big dreams.
Sure. And,
we had this Christmas tree farm a few miles down the way from us, and for years, the owner of this farm had been trying to sell a 1960s fire engine.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, and I really, really want, like, I tried everything with my parents. I was talking, working deals, contacting my extended family.
Yeah.
And my dream was that I would have this thing and I would restore it and become the coolest person in Stockbridge
High
School.
Well, sure, of course.
Yeah. Didn't work out.
Mm.
And you know what? It probably is for the best now, looking back.
I don't know. Fire trucks are pretty cool.
I know. I would,
vintage fire trucks.
I would still have it, right?
Yeah.
It might be all I had. But so there's something, I think there's something about the idea of restoring an unusual vehicle and being able to bring it back to the modern day that sort of calls to anybody who's a fan of cars.
Sure. I mean, this is a one and only. I mean, it's one of seven, and it's the only existing vehicle that they know of. I mean, other ones, I guess the other ones were, as they put it in the video, I think they're pressed into other service at some point.
Right.
You know, so they were just made into cargo vans or whatever they were made into. Some probably just rotted away.
Yeah.
Sadly, or were cannibalized for parts for other vehicles. And, you know, this one, for it to live this long and for someone to spot it, for someone to, you know, notice that there's some value to this vehicle, to haul it out and then to follow through with the restoration, that's great. Good for them. I mean, and to make it profitable too. I would assume it's a profitable venture or something similar. I mean, they're getting their own TV series at this point. So it's clearly something that they can do full time, you know, making money with this thing and something that they love. So good for them.
Yeah, you know, we love interesting jobs. It'd be awesome to be able to describe your job as, oh, I run the vintage mobile cinema.
That would be really cool. Own and operate.
Yes.
Very cool.
Well, I guess that's going to wrap it up for us here today.
I think so.
Yeah, we're going to go ahead and head out, maybe watch a movie, but have to do it in a stationary room.
Yeah, not in style like in the vintage mobile.
Yeah, not like the fancy folks over there. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, while we're pursuing our dreams of mobile cinema, let us know if you guys have any sort of unique historic vehicles that you'd like us to cover. You can contact us on Facebook and Twitter. You can contact us on our website, of course. And if you want to talk directly to us, the best way to do it is to email us at
carstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. To learn more about the podcast, click on the podcast icon in the upper right corner of our homepage. The How Stuff Works iPhone app has arrived. Download it today on iTunes.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Viking. Committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at Viking.com.